Welcome to the Heather Andrews Show, here to show you how our choices today do affect other people, our kids, our relationships, our careers, and businesses, which cause generational impact. You will hear from guests and experts from around the world. She's here to help you follow through on the it to live a stellar life. And now, here's your host, Heather Andrews.
Welcome to our show, everyone, and we're very grateful that you are here today. We are talking with Adele Lapine about how our story and our journey doesn't define us and how we have a choice in how we determine the outcome of our day-to-day life. Welcome to the show, Adele.
Thanks, Heather.
Perfect. So tell us a little bit about what you do in your world today and how you got to what you're doing as a relationship coach.
Well, thank you, Heather. Relationships to me are fascinating, and I feel honored to be able to study them and work in them. And how I came to that journey was actually through my divorce. And so 4 years ago, I realized that my marriage wasn't going to flourish, and I needed to give up on a dream of what was meant to be, I guess. And started reflecting back on who am I and how did I come to be who I am today. And so looking back on that took me back to growing up and being raised by a single dad and what my relationship was like with him and how I showed up in relationships with sort of my partners and intimate relationships, and they weren't healthy. I discovered that I was a codependent, and in codependency, I realized that I better knew how my partner felt and what their needs were. And I was really good at not expressing my needs, but making sure that their needs came first. And I think a lot of this came from with my dad, in how as a little girl, if I wanted something or needed something, I made sure that I cleaned the house and I made him happy and or cooked for him and all the things before I asked for what it was that I needed. Mm-hmm. And then I discovered that that was showing up in my marriage and that I actually became afraid to even share if something I didn't like, because I felt that I would be judged or ridiculed, based on those. And so growing up as well, I was raised in a home with a lot of drinking, a lot of disengaged sort of parenting. I raised myself in a lot of ways and, definitely could have went down the path of drugs or alcohol and et cetera myself, because that was definitely the environment in which I grew up in. Mm-hmm. But I didn't. And so I started questioning and wondering why didn't I grow up in that environment? Or sorry, not environment, but why am I not in that path now? And it's because of choices. I could choose to be a victim and look, poor me, and, you know, here's this little girl who was abandoned and grew up with alcohol and all those things. But instead, I chose resiliency. I wasn't afraid to ask for help when I didn't know the answers to things or if I was struggling. And I realized when I came out of these experiences as a child, I came out stronger and actually had more skill than when I went into the situation. And I'm so thankful that I'm able to use those pieces now, like sort of like the rung on a ladder, and that I can climb out of that situation and I can flourish and have this great, amazing life that I have now based on just choosing happiness or choosing that the crap that I went through was actually a lesson. And it wasn't to push me down and hold me sort of to the ground. I was able to use that as I said, as that lesson, and how can I do things differently the next time?
Living the stellar life. This is the Heather Andrews Show.
Powerful stuff, for sure. I love the power of choice. It's one of those things that once we realize that it's the power of choice and we have the room to create different outcomes, it's a very, very powerful place to be, and amazing things can come from it. But there's a journey that needs to happen to realize that. And so what would you share as part of your, you know, what was the biggest pivotal shift for you to realize that you didn't have to stay stuck in victim mode and you could move to that power of and place of choice?
I think where it came in that pivotal point was I had asked myself, how do I become a stronger me? And that meant that I had to do the work, because it's easy enough to say that I need to make a choice to be happy or need a choice to change, but it takes a lot of work and effort, and that's not easy. So I then started investing in myself and attending transformation seminars, looking at what would my goals be, taking a stance on like visualization and visualizing what does a happy life look like. And a happy life looked like me being able to freely speak my feelings, my needs, and to never be judged. And I was able to actually sort of do that exercise in a weekend surrounded by a room full of non-judging people that just loved me, even though they were complete strangers. And they validated that I was worth it. And
that's powerful.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been an amazing journey. And we're all worth it. And we're worth it in love, like self-love. I mean, there's a book coming out, What Self-Love Got to Do with It. And self-love, knowing that I can just be who I am supposed to be and meant to be, and not judged by others, not care what others even think, because it's truly just about me. And I didn't know that that's what love was. And I can love someone else in the same capacity, that I'm to never change them. I'm to just accept them for who they are, and they too get to speak freely and have feelings and share them without my judgment. And it's been an amazing place to be.
Sounds like it. That's an amazing thought. It actually sends shivers down my spine just thinking about that. Just accepting somebody as they are.
Yeah, I recently heard.
And loving them who they are.
Yeah. So it flipped my mind when I heard a speaker talk. And he said that he had a cat and he was upset with the cat, and he would try to manipulate the cat and do all these things because he just wanted the cat to bark. But then realized the cat is never going to bark because it's a cat. And so at that point, you love the cat for being a cat, or you go get a dog. And that really hit home to me in what love is and how I can love somebody without changing them.
And so what was one of the biggest pieces? Because we talked a lot about codependency, and sometimes in society, we may not know that we're a codependent or what that looks like. So what did that look like in your life? And what was your aha moment when you realized what signified that?
My aha moment really came a little bit later. I had used the word codependence a little bit loosely because I had been around the AA world since I was 11, I think, as an ALA teen, and been around Al-Anon and et cetera. And I was introduced to a book called Codependency No More, and I started to read it and started to learn how, like as you asked, how that shows up in my life. And some of the characteristics that I read is, so it says here, a tendency to confuse love and pity with the tendency to love people they can pity. An extreme need for approval and recognition. So sort of going above and beyond to do things, to have a, to fill your self-worth. And people, you know, asking me like, oh my gosh, how do you do it all? And even though I didn't need the backstroking in a sense, but I needed from others that there was recognition because my partner didn't necessarily give it to me. Then there's another characteristic, which is having boundaries. I didn't even know what the word boundaries meant until I learned about codependency, because, you know, when they say, you know, if he drinks one more time, that's it, I'm out. But then they drink one more time and tell you that I'm really sorry, that'll never happen again. And they show this sense of hope and that they go dry, let's say for 3 weeks. And you're just like, yes, okay, we got it. I've got some hope. And then it happens again, but I still haven't left because I had the hope that is carrying me that, okay, you might quit again. And so these boundaries keep getting crossed, but yet I'm able to almost like a rubber band stretch with it and then come back. One quick little example I'll give is in a restaurant, if we went out to eat, the first thing I would do would look at the menu and try and decide what he was going to eat. Because if I had picked the restaurant, if he has a crappy meal, it's a reflection of me because I chose the restaurant. I read the menu because what if there's something on there that he doesn't know what, you know, truffle oil and au jus mean? Then I'm making sure he's got a meat and potatoes type meal because he's not into fancy stuff, because he's going to be frustrated. I have conversations in my mind about all these things that I've almost put a precursor on, but I don't actually know if that's what he's thinking. And he's an adult and he can read and he can probably get through the menu quite fine. And even if he ate something crappy, I didn't cook it, it's not me. But you take on all that shame and the feelings of what they're going to experience and take them on as your own.
That's a heck of a load to carry.
It is. And it has taken me a while to learn I don't have to be that person. I don't have to take on their feelings. I'm not in control of how they choose to react to what I have to say or do. That was a huge statement lesson for me. I'm not in control of it. They own that. And I have to allow them to own that and carry on.
Because it's their space.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly. And always try to avoid argument, be non-confrontational. That was always heightened at the forefront of my mind. Is what do I have to say to predict the outcome? And I'm not a manipulative person, but I didn't realize how manipulative the conversations were in my mind until now that I'm out of it. Because when you're in it, I don't think you really see it and know until you can start recognizing these characteristics and signs of codependency and realize it doesn't have to be this way. This isn't really a healthy way to live. Much more freeing to not be.
Yeah. Did he, when you're, as you are in doing like your relationship coaching and, you know, walking through this, do the couples that you're coaching, whether it be individual or couples, do they even realize what's going on in the relationship? And does one actually realize that they're compensating for the other or creating stress within the relationship by overcompensating for the other?
Great question. And I think I'm going to mostly say no. Because it's almost like it almost just happened slowly over time that we didn't even see that this was happening to making those compensations. And so once we become aware of them and realize like, oh, I'm doing that, we can then work on the like, how do we not do that anymore? And I have to say probably the biggest thing is just even recognizing and knowing it exists.
True. Very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
Does it show up in a relationship where that the mom might be making excuses to the children about dad's behavior? Is that sort of one of the signs or vice versa?
Oh, I think it absolutely can be because you're protecting your spouse. One out of fear of humiliation. And you don't want the children to know the truth because you think you want to protect them. Where really don't think we are protecting them. They're very smart human beings and they may be even more intuitive than us as adults. And it works both ways, right? It can be husband or wife. I found for myself personally that I definitely made excuses and justified the behavior mm-hmm. where right now, like it's my ownership, right? Like I'm the one who did that. He didn't ask me to, right? He's mm-hmm. not guilty of this at all. He was just being him. I take ownership of how I showed up in that relationship.
That is a very, very valid point. And I think there's more, there's such truth in that. Like he was just being him, you were just being you, and yet you felt that you had to be a certain way to move through your marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. If I were to ask him, you know, did you shame me? Did you, you know, do these things? He would look at me and be like, no. Like, what are you talking about? Because a lot of it was my own belief system and how I mm-hmm. thought or assumed, there's a good word, right? Because we know what assume means.
Yeah.
And so he is not guilty of that. I'm guilty because I put the perception there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think it's guilt as much as it is just realizing after going to the transformation weekends and people and just learning a different way that you became accountable for how you were showing up in a relationship.
True. Yes.
And when you realize how you're showing up in the relationship and showing up for yourself in your own life, that was a huge game changer for myself. Mm-hmm. And so when you're talking about, when you're just kind of walking through all of the motions of this and all of the emotions and listening to it, that's exactly what my first marriage was as well.
Oh, okay.
How I was showing up, right? And I always made excuses for certain actions that my first partner mm-hmm. did. And I didn't want it to look that I'd made a bad choice because I was scared how I was going to be judged for being in this relationship. And I wanted to paint the picture that everything was
absolutely
fine.
That you just exactly painted my picture. Because I came from a lot of, you know, broken down marriages in my family and I am a child of divorce myself. And so I wasn't going to be that statistic. And I was going to fight tooth and nail and I was going to be the strong one. But yet I was so broken and so hurt and just a puddle inside. And I didn't know who to talk to because I needed to mm-hmm. perceive that everything was perfect. And when mm-hmm. I...
And it's amazing. Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, when you say perceive, it's amazing to me how we can be in our own perceptions and how, and just, we can paint a picture and we can perceive and that becomes our belief.
Exactly. And that, like, I love that you said our belief, because that's something new that I've learned in taking a positive psychology program, is what is our belief system and where do our beliefs come from? Mm-hmm. And so then can we take it to court, as we say, and what is the evidence for or against the belief? And I come to realize that a lot of these beliefs, I don't really have evidence for it. So can I then change it? Can I find information that better supports the change in that belief? And one of them was that I don't have to be stuck in a marriage and then feel judged because I got out to better myself and my family, and really even better my ex-husband. He deserves happiness and deserves better and to be who he authentically needs to be. And that wasn't going to be with us together.
I love
and we
that.
Are fantastic.
It just goes to show.
I was just going to say, we are fantastic co-parents. We have an amazing friendship. That friendship comes at a, you know, somewhat of a cost, and that I'm not always right. He can't be right. He has beliefs and we can share them now, but it's not in a toxic environment that I don't think we even actually listened or heard each other when we lived together. Or now we can have a 2-hour lunch, listen and hear each other and value what that other person has to say. And that life is just so much more harmonious now.
I love that. And it just goes to show, like, the respect that you have for him and what he brings to, you know, as the father of you guys' children, right? So I love your story so much. And I just, you know, when you talked about the upcoming book, What Self-Love Got to Do with It, and, you know, because it really is about, you know, choosing self-worth and knowing that you and the person, whether friend, family, lover, yeah, whatever, deserves something different as well. Loving yourself and loving them to choose a different path.
Absolutely. Exactly.
You know, and I know even in my own first marriage, you know, when I got out, because it was actually, the story goes, I was in such a self-destruction place that it was actually, somebody said, do you even love yourself enough to even look at this? And the answer was no. I didn't love myself enough. I didn't love him. I didn't love me. And I didn't love anything about my life. And it goes back to the whole thing of what self-love got to do with it.
Everything. You know, and that just made me think. So if I've said that to love someone else, I need to love them without changing them. Self-love means I need to love myself without changing me. Maybe it's just me learning. Who am I? What brings me joy? Doing more of those things. And if it is something that I want to change, knowing that I can, but I'm doing it for me, not anyone else. Thank you.
And then it goes back to the power of choice. And the power of the outcome.
Regardless of, like I said, what my upbringing was or any of those things, it's the power of choice today and now. And I love that. I love that I have control to choose and change.
Yeah. And also too, I mean, you and I have talked a lot about, with sharing your story and the book, the piece of the trust and trusting yourself to know what is right for you. And so can you just kind of share a little bit about that? Because I know you refer to it as that's where the magic happens. So I was just kind of, you know, if you could just explore that a little bit for our audience, that would be great.
So trust is where the magic happens came to me when I actually was making a transition out of a career and not knowing necessarily what was ahead of me, but knowing where I was at right now wasn't serving my purpose. And I didn't have the job and the income and the guaranteed benefits and a pension and all those things moving forward, but I had to trust the process. And I had to trust that what I'm doing is best for me, for my family, those around me. And in trusting that process, I am exactly where I am supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to do. I am grateful for abundance that flows into my life. That is something I say every day, because I am so grateful for just even the little things. But I wouldn't have that if I didn't just trust and trust and vulnerability, right? So if I can be fully vulnerable with people, that trust is built within seconds. And sometimes it starts even with a smile, as crazy as that is. And once I have trust in myself, or if I'm working with a client and we have that trust, it is endless the possibilities that are available that a person is, I think, able to do and succeed at.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it only takes one person to believe in you, right? To see that, you know, you shine your light, you trust them, they trust you, and then it just creates this, you know, this energy that is just so abundant. And when somebody is not, if they've been through something and traumatic and they can't move through a space, it only takes, you know, someone like you, and just to put that hand out and say, hey, come, I've been where you are. And that's why, you know, and they're going to come, right? And that's why you're such a pillar in your community. And that's why you, you know, have achieved what you have, and you're changing lives with, you know, your relationship coaching and everything that you stand for. And I just love how you took your journey and you've just totally come out the other side in such a powerful place and helping people achieve the lives that they want. By mentoring, right?
Oh, I just so thank you, Heather. Like, I have goosebumps up and down my body. It is. The work that I'm doing right now is so beyond me, right? It's not about me. And I just love that, mm-hmm. like you said, reach my hand out and say, come with me, because I've been there. That is one of the most comforting things, to be able to talk with someone or share with someone who's been there. Because it's not that I know how you feel, but I can understand how you feel. And it's a great place to be.
Love that. Yeah. I just love how there were just so many highlights of today that that we've shared upon. And I would just like to say, as we wrap up our podcast today and our show, what are the three takeaway tips that you can share with our listeners that that will just, maybe they can implement or take away and just really kind of let them think on their own life and see if there's something that they would like to just be more aware of? What would those three tips be?
Three tips that I could suggest. I guess, as we talked about choices, right? Life is about choices. We choose our mindset, we choose our beliefs, and how we interact with others. You have the power to change. It's your choice. I also learned that that you can detach with love. I don't always have to agree with other people, but I can set boundaries, express myself freely, and give them space to be themselves. And another one is, I guess this was a powerful mindset tip for me, is that if I don't take responsibility for my action, I can't fix it. It's easy to cast blame and look at others and why my life is so crappy, or I'm down and out and I'm not lucky. But how am I showing up? And then I can change and fix that.
And as a mom to two girls, and I know that this is in your heart and your soul, just one last question. What do you wish, or the I know that we've talked about this as well, bringing a relationship course to the school, how do you think that would help? Because I know that that's part of your one mission statement. So my question would be, like, what would that look like in the future if relationships were brought into schools, and a course about relationships, or just more education about interaction and relationship? What do you, you know, like, what do you think that would, how do you think that would
help? Oh my gosh, the impact would be amazing, because in that passion is, I wished I had known relationship information that I know now, like the cat story I said. If I had learned that, I think, and I do teach that to my children, and I see a huge difference in them. But I think if we could teach them, you know, you don't empower these relationships, empower the girls to not have to be a doormat. They can use their voice, free themselves from being in these codependent relationships, knowing they don't have to sacrifice to be with someone else. Fully be present, be who you are meant to be, and your person will find you. It's not about seeking out and trying to be someone just to fit in their life. Because I don't think that relationship, in most cases, is going to flourish. It's going to be a hard relationship and a lot of conversation and maybe lack of communication, which then is, can be detrimental to a relationship. But if we can be ourselves, do what it is we want to do. If you're traveling, you know, you want to go to university on the other side of the country, know that you can do that. And if your person loves you, they will encourage you to go to that university on the other side of the country. And that's the space that you allow that person to be who they are meant to truly be. And I think the relationship will survive and even be better than it probably ever was, because you allowed that to happen. But I think so many times we feel stuck because we're in a relationship and we want to do what better serves the other person. And this seems to be just sort of a cycle that maybe generationally has been taught. That, yeah, if we can get into the schools or even just empowerment classes, et cetera, workshops, to have a different perspective. Maybe just have a little bit, a different belief that they hadn't heard before. I think it would be amazing. We might get back to the 70s love, like spread love. to be interesting.
And I think just what you said, I think just what you said, even just to wrap it up, this is the type of information that is wonderful for both women, men, girls, boys. And I really see a shift happening even within our young men. They're realizing and showing up at more of these transformation weekends, looking for answers on how to be a different and just how to be in a relationship, because there seems to be such a breakdown in our society. And whether it be for societal, like social media, texting, I'm not sure, but that's a whole other conversation.
I think it is, Heather, but just to reiterate on that, like, it is, these boys and men are, I think, generationally going to do better in relationships than we've seen in the past. And that's evolution. And we're going to learn that. And there's some amazing, amazing men coming into this world that don't want to be what they had seen in the past.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and even like some of my own biggest aha moments have come from men mentors that I've had. And so, you know, for that, I am just so grateful for that different insight, right? Because sometimes they see things that we or other women might not see.
Yep, the great book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. It's not a bad thing.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
It's a good thing, absolutely. And that was one of the first books when I first met my husband. We actually read it together, my second husband, because he's like, we both came out of divorced marriages. We need to read this book together.
Yeah. And it makes sense. And so, I love it. So.
Yeah, I love it too. I thank you so much, Adele, for being on our show today and just showing up in just that raw capacity and just being so open to share with our listeners what's in your heart, what you've learned. And once again, just that creation of story and how you, your journey is there to just teach you things. And then you do have a choice on how you react and come out on the other side. And once again, thank you for listening and being with us today. And we just really want you to go out and live your stellar life. And that stellar life is really one of serenity, transformation, energy, laughter, love, activity, and as Adele said, resiliency. So till next time, go out and choose that stellar life. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to The Heather Andrews Show. For more exclusive content, visit heatherandrews.press. Until next time, stay focused and live the stellar life you are meant to live by following it through.